Sam Martin unloads the punt. Robert Good Woods punt. Backtracking. Again, a deep punt at the 14. Woods to his left. 15, 20. Woods, 25. Sideline, 30, 35, 40, 45, and pushed out of bounds. A great run back by Robert Woods with 30 seconds to go. The Texans can score. They have two timeouts to work with.
That looked like the younger version of Robert Woods. High stepping down the sideline.
Well, it's his former team, too.
Sweet.
Yeah, a little bit of additional revenge game in a 23-20 victory for the Texans over the Bills. Exciting game. And Robert Woods, man, stood up pretty well when it came to returning the football. It feels very very much like he has roped that job and solidified himself in it.
Except for the fair catches inside
but
the
he did catch the
line.
Football at the very least. If
he
you're
did
gonna do that, but yeah, let's be a little more aware of where we are on the field.
Yeah,
but shout out to Robert Woods in that game, and shout out to when we talk about special teams in general, cool. But the defense needs a lot of love here, John. What for you? Where are you feeling with this defense? Because it feels like this defense played a dominant game, even though there was definitely some weaknesses in it. Like, it felt really good to watch this defense stand up in the way that it did.
Cornerbacks, by far. Look, Josh Allen played a very poor game, one of the worst games of his life. But there were factors in there that made a big difference. I think Derek Stingley was targeted four times, zero catches. Kamari Lassiter gave up one big play, which is going to happen when you're targeted more than the other cornerback, but made some big-time plays. Maybe I'm seeing something that others aren't. I thought the cornerbacks were as big a part of that defensive effort as anything.
Yeah, I thought they.
Yeah, as anything.
Yeah, I thought they played really well in the course of this game. But for me, more than that itself, we came in talking about Josh Allen. Like, I know that they, you know, they lost Khalil or goodness gracious,
Shakir. Yeah,
there we go. I keep wanting to talk about Aziz in the course of this, and we will get there. But they lost Khalil Shakir, who is their best wide receiver, and I know that they don't have a super prominent wide receiving core. I know that they have the tight ends, but it was going to be about Josh Allen and keeping him bottled up, and that's what this team did for the most part. I think there might have been two or three instances where he kind of broke contain and then began rumbling, stumbling, and bumbling. But other than that. And then there was also one instance where he tried to get that throw off on the sideline.
Yeah.
But other than that, man, you did a great job keeping him in the pocket. In fact, you did a great job getting home in all of that. And so D'Amico Ryans, in fact, the first thing that he was asked in his presser specifically, and this is cut one here, Byron, he was asked, what was the key to limiting such a dynamic quarterback?
Yeah, limiting Josh, man, is a great player. It was a tough out for us, but it took a valiant effort from everybody. It was a collective effort. D-line, we knew we weren't going to get many sacks against him because he's so elusive in the pocket. We just had to keep rushing, like keep the pressure on him. So they did a great job of keeping the pressure on him, and our back end guys, the way they covered, it was that was the reason why we played tight coverage, made the plays we needed to make. It was that collective effort of rush and coverage being tied together.
Cornerbacks, look, we are going to talk about Al-Shaair because that was an epic effort by him. All things considered, you know, as we talked about, if you weren't listening earlier, that guy, if the environment was different, if it was a playoff game or he was a bigger name, a bigger household name around the NFL, people would be talking about a legendary effort that he had because not just leading the team in tackles, always around the ball, had, I think, two tackles for loss and a sack.
One tackle for loss, but he had two quarterback hits.
No, two quarterback hits. And two passes defensed, which were huge in the course of the game. I mean, Al-Shaair was all over the field, lost 10 pounds overnight, was vomiting all night in the hospital, and comes out and does that. Like, he gets the game ball, so to speak, defensively. But what Derek Stingley did, and Derek Stingley was talking about Lassiter after the game as well. He said four can play. He's a player, something like that. Those two guys, it changes the whole dynamic on the defensive side when you have two cornerbacks like that.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know that Stingley is tough to play. In fact, there was a moment where Sting gets a PBU. He knocks the ball out of the hand of the receiver. And I almost looked at him and was like, oh, man, he's like, because it was one of those where he was given a little bit of cushion and the receiver stops like a hitch. And I was like, oh, man, I don't know that he has the opportunity to recover. And he gets there just in time. And it feels like he has such a good timing, such a feel on the field. And so you have that. And then on the other side, maybe you think, oh, well, you can go attack Kamari. You mm-hmm. absolutely cannot. Like, they both were doing very well. But from it seems like that's where your eyes were locked. I was locked in on this defensive line. We came in talking mm-hmm. about the fact that you were missing a couple of guys. Jerry Hughes, Derek Barnett, not available in the course of this game. Dylan Horton had to be activated from the non-football injury list and immediately go into yeah. action. He gets 15 snaps on defense in this game. Like, and of course, salute to him, because that is crazy in some ways. Returning from, you know, mm-hmm. from defeating cancer to almost immediately practicing and jumping into football activities, that just feels like a huge ramp up.
Yeah.
But like, you did not have a lot defensively on the line, and you expected those guys, especially Danielle Hunter, especially Will Anderson Jr., to come in and handle a tough job of making sure to keep your containment in it. Also,
yeah.
Foley and then also Mario Edwards. I don't want to forget them because they played in as well. But maintain your pass lanes, but then also get to the quarterback in a way that, you remember, they didn't do very well last game. Mm-hmm. They did that pretty well this game, including a Khalil Davis sack.
Yeah.
In the course of this, like this defensive line, and they held up in a great way, but then they also kept him in the pocket. The Josh Allen was, they got to him, and especially in the fourth quarter on that possession where Sean McDermott kind of
spit the bit,
man. Yeah. They're out here throwing, but even then, he's in the end zone and he's not able to escape. They are collapsing upon him and making it tough on him. You saw that all night long mm-hmm. in the passing game, and I thought that was super important.
And that's where you have to give the edge rushers credit, as much as we would, and we talked about it on Friday, you know, get home. You know, they had created some pressures, but they didn't have a lot of sacks, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. This was a game where that was almost thrown out the window, because you did have to stay and keep Josh Allen in the pocket. You know, you did have to kind of contain as best you could. The only one sort of like, bad mark on the defensive line that I alluded to earlier is I felt like they were getting pushed around in the run game. And that's something that, you know, it's not a huge line. Seth was talking about this in the press box. They're just not real big compared to NFL standards.
And that's the entire defense, yes, really, especially.
Yes, but they're fast. And they were getting pushed around a little bit in the run game, which, okay, I mean, you got to give and take here. They did a great job, as you just heard D'Amico talk about, pressuring the quarterback, keeping him in the pocket, and being, you know, his word, relentless. But I thought they were pushed around a little bit, and that's something that they have to, obviously, and will, I think, when D'Amico Autry comes back, shore up.
That's a big thing, is I think some of the sizable additions that you have when mm-hmm. it comes to D'Amico Autry and helping that was not here. But I thought that they did. In fact, I want to take another second to mention mm-hmm. Khalil Davis, because on that rep that he wins it fast.
Yeah.
And if he does not win it fast, I only imagine what you see there. But because he wins it so fast, he's barreling down on Josh Allen, and he blows that play up. Those are the types of things that I wanted that were impressive. But, of course, we got to talk about the man of the hour. And, of course, I'm going to allow D'Amico Ryans to talk about this. This is cut three here, because Azeez Al-Shaair, like, again, we could put it in the context of him being sick and all those things, and that matters. I don't want to ignore that. But even if he wasn't, mm-hmm. his play was incredible. I mean, he was in the run gaps and fitting the run gaps, you know, incredibly well. He was out defending, as we mentioned earlier. So D'Amico Ryans asked, what did Azeez's effort mean for this team today?
Azeez meant everything to, you know, what we did today, because, you know, Azeez was, people don't know, he was sick last night, didn't know if he was even going to play. So for him, right, to be as tired as he was, for him to gut it out and play every snap, like, it was an outstanding performance by him. Right? And I know what he was battling. I know how hard it was for him to push through and play through that game. And I got so much respect for Azeez and what he accomplished today.
The thing about that stood out, a couple things. Denzel Perryman was more than fine last year for this team, but he doesn't make some of the plays that Al-Shaair.
Absolutely not.
He just doesn't do it.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that I get from that is, like, if he's going out hard, everybody got to go hard. Like, mm-hmm. I think that him being the soul of the team, I say that, and I don't say it lightly. I think that he ends up kind of inspiring within all these other guys a level of effort and energy that they just have to draw from within. And I think that was necessary in this game, because, look, I'm not going to pretend like the defense was perfect. They had their instances where, ooh, it's starting to look bad, especially mm-hmm. when you saw that, when you heard that number 70 announced as an eligible receiver, you're like, oh, they're in a jumbo pack and they're going to get down. And they moved, but ultimately this team at various points in the course, this defense particularly, in various points in this game just decided, We're not breaking.
I'm telling you.
This stops here at mm-hmm. various points.
You are absolutely right. Because they knew, everybody on that team, everybody especially on the defense, knew what he was going through and what he went through the night before, and that he was doubtful, you know, and maybe not officially, but they were doubting if he could play. And I said it earlier. I feel like Al-Shaair should really be one of the fan favorites in this league. Not that it matters that much. I'm just saying it's kind of a shame that he doesn't get that kind of credit, and maybe he'll start to. Because that was a here's a comparison for you. That reminded me of Brian Cushing. That was a Brian Cushing type of game. And all over the field, in the backfield, in coverage, sideline to sideline, making always around the ball. And Brian Cushing obviously has become and still is a big time fan favorite. That's what it reminded me of. He was awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that intensity is I've seen that kind of comparison already early on in this year. The comparison with the energy that you know Brian Cushing mm-hmm. brought, mm-hmm. Azeez Al-Shaair brings. And I think as much as we can talk about the technical aspects of it and the way that you know that he's watched film and you see how that inspires, how quick, how fast he reacts to things. It almost is that intangible stuff that is amazing to me, because it's like, dude, where do you find the wherewithal to play like that? Right. Yeah. It's almost like the audacity to play at that level, knowing that you are broken in your body in that way.
Yeah.
And I think that was huge to see from this defense. So I wanted to salute that especially. But the defense played incredible in this game, all things considered, and they needed every bit of it. As the Texans get a last second victory, 23-20, in which you see the sideline pour onto the field after Kyahmi Fairbairn nails the 59-yard field goal. But 23-20, the final in favor of the Texans. It is a victory. Reaction Monday here in the Loop. It feels so good to say it.
And it was a thorough game. It was there's a no complaint game right there.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you can parse. You can nitpick.
Okay, I like what you're doing. No complaints, but nitpicks.
Yeah.
All right, we'll do that. In fact, we will do our Victory Monday nitpick, I believe, at 1 p.m. But coming up next, we got to get into what's popping, including baseball that's still happening, even though the Astros are not playing in it. There were some wild things happening there and more. We'll talk about all that next.